truly offer to you the fruit of our lips, which is our worship, which is our praise. And even though it's been written and placed in a song, but in the well of our belly, in the depth of our soul, there's many of us saying, God, we're crying out, anything you want, we'll give it to you. Anything you want, God. Our firstborn, we give it to you. Our secondborn, we give it to you. Our thirdborn, we give it to you. The barrenness of our womb, we give it to you. The barrenness of our dreams, we give it to you. We give it all to you, God. We give you our marriage. We give you our ministry, God. We give you our mind. Anything you want, God. Anything you just ask. You told us in your word that we can ask what we will of you, and you will give it to us. But this morning, right now, God, we're saying anything you want. Anything you want. Whatever you're asking of us. Whatever you're requiring of us, oh God. Anything you want. Anything. Anything that you want. Anything that you want, anything that you're asking me, God, I freely give to you. I turn it over to you because I realize that I'm nothing without you. I cannot do nothing without you, God. So I surrender all. I give you my all. I give you my marriage. I give you my children. I give you my ministry. I give you my mind. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Anything you want. Anything you want, God. I'll give up my marriage. I'll give up my job. I'll give up my home. What is it that you want of me? What is it that you want? Anything you ask me, God, I'm willing to give it up. I'm willing to walk away from it, God. For your word says there's nothing, God, that we walk away that you won't give it back to us. Good measure pressed down, shaking together and running over. So anything you want, God, just tell me what you want. Just tell me what you want, God. My attention, you got it. You got my attention, God. My praise, you got it. No questions about it. I'll worship you. But God, you're asking for something that we're really not releasing. Under the sound of my voice, there are some people, God, that you're asking to give up stuff that they are fighting you for. If only they realize and understand, God, that the song didn't just prelude this next part of the service, but you're asking us, God, to give up something. There's something we're holding on to. There's something that's attached to us. And in the natural realm, it means so much to us. But if we could just release it, if we could just get it, give it to you, you'll give it back to us. Better than it came to us in the beginning. What is it that you want from us, God? Who's under the sound of my voice? Even the one holding the mic that you're saying, let it go. Give it to me. Give it to me. In our minds, God, we think that we've given you everything. Even me, I think I've given you everything, God. There's nothing that I have belongs to me. I've given you my husband. I've given you my children. I've given you my grandchildren. I've given you the ministry, God. I've given you all of me. I'm sold out to you, God. And yet I feel there's a tug of war that's going on in this, on the inside of me, that I've not given you everything. Show me what it is, God. Show me what it is that I'm still holding on for a trophy. I'll let it go and I'll release it unto you. I'll surrender it all to you. My gifts, my talents, I give it to you because I wouldn't have it if you had not given it to us. And so God, under the sound of heaven, the music, the worship that has gone forth, search our hearts, oh God, that we may find what is in us that you're saying, give it to me. It's like a child chewing gum and you're saying, give it to me. And they've hidden it under their tongue because they want to continue to chew. But you know it's under that tongue. And you demand that they give it to you as parents, as our Heavenly Father. I give you all of us. We give you all of us. I give you all of me. For the next 15 minutes, God, I give you all of me. Use me for your glory. Decrease me, that you will be increased and glorified in this place. We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful. We praise you, God. We thank you. We honor you today. We say thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, clothing our right mind, having the activities of our limbs. We're so thankful. We thank you. Blessings, Yahweh, Yeshua, sovereign God, mighty God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We dedicate her destiny to you from the beginning to the end. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Come on, everybody say amen again. Come on, everybody say amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Amen. In this place, amen. Oh, come on. I know it's only a few of us, amen, but we can make some sounds in here for the glory of God. Not for me, amen, but for the glory of God. We can fill this room. We can swell up the blessings of the Lord in this room and make it sound like a roar that's coming from a large crowd. Come on, we're in an amphitheater. Come on, let your voice be heard in here. Come on and magnify the Lord with me. Come on and let's bless his name together. Come on and bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Come on and bless the Lord. He's a mighty good God. He's a great God. He's an awesome God. Come on and bless him. We praise your name. We bless your name, God. We are honor you today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is worthy. Your name is worthy. Your name is worthy. Your name is worthy. Your name is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless your name, God. We honor you. We're so thankful. The people of God are so thankful. We're thankful, 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 God. We're holding nothing back. You don't know like I know. I don't know like they know what you've done for all of us. But we do know, praise. We can't say nothing else. If we can't do nothing else, we know how to praise the Almighty God. Amen. Come on, praise is what I do. Worship is what I do. This is my lifestyle. Even if I don't preach a word, worship is what I do. This is who I am. I worship you, oh God. I worship you. I worship you. I bow down. I bow down and worship because I love you, God. I love you with everything in me. I love you. I love you. I love you, God. I love you. I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, God. I love you, Lord. I love you, I love you, God. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I thank you. God, I bless your name. And I thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. We sing praises to your name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And glory to God. Hallelujah. Now give your own selves a big round of applause. Amen. Come on, clap for your own self. You've endured so much. You've come through so much. Come on, is there anybody that's been through so much in their lives and they're still standing? I'm standing on the promises of God that cannot fail. I'm still standing. Though you slay me yet, will I trust them? I'm still standing. Nothing can change me. Nothing can stop me because I know God as a keeper. He's kept my mind. Come on, he that keepeth his mind stayed on me. The word word of God says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. God is a keeper. God is a keeper. When I wanted to walk away from that marriage, he kept me. Come on. He kept me. He kept me. He kept me. When I wanted to walk away from that job, he kept me. Come on. You got to know God as a keeper. I know him for myself. I know he kept me. When I had suicidal thoughts, he kept me. Oh yeah, I know I'm a Christian, but there was trials and there were tribulations that I was facing. I say, God, take me out. Take me out of my misery. Take me out of this life. I'm ready to go home with you. But God says, that's destiny. You can't leave now. I know him to be a keeper. He is a keeper. He's a keeper. He's a keeper. Anybody in here know God as a keeper? Yes, 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 he's a keeper. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. People started to mess with your integrity. He's a keeper. When they slander you, when they make false accusations, when practically they lie on you, you've got to know that God is a keeper. You've got to know that he's a keeper. He'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. He'll hide you. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, he's already lifted up a standard. He's already lifted up a standard. He's already lifted up a standard. Hallelujah. And so I know him to be a keeper. I know when your son's name is up on the biggest billboards all across the nation, wanted by the FBI, and you are a public speaker, you got a church in the community, God will hide you. He will keep you. He won't let your enemies, he won't give you over to the will of your enemies. God is a keeper. The only testimony that you have is what he's done for you. You can't ride on somebody else's testimony. You can't tell somebody else's testimony. You got to be able to square your shoulders back. Tell the people of God, I know him to be a keeper. I know him to be a keeper. I know how it is to stand in a courtroom bigger than you and hear the judge give down a sentence when you wanted your son to come home. But the sentence had to go just the way that God planned it, because he's going to keep you in the midnight hour. In the midnight hour when everybody is fast asleep and you're walking the floor, you're walking the plank. You're saying, God, how am I going to get through this? You're saying, God, what are the people going to say? You say, God, if the people leave the church, we may as well go ahead and close down the doors. We may as well let everything collapse. But God says, I'm a keeper. Everything that I'm doing in your life is for your destiny. It's for their destiny. It's for the destiny of the church. I know God to be a keeper. He's a keeper. He's a keeper. He is a keeper. He's a keeper of my soul. He's a keeper of my mind. Keeper of my heart. Keeper of my feet. He's a keeper. I bless the Lord. I made up in my mind that I was not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I know that he's the keeper. I know he'll keep me. He's keeping my family. He's helping us to hold our head up higher. He's helping us to walk through the valley and the shadows of death and fear no evil. Why? Because Emmanuel is with us. He's walking with us. He's talking with us. He's keeping us, oh God. And so the only way you can deliver people is that you've been delivered yourself. Come on, if you don't know how great God is, how can you hold a mic? How can you hold a bullhorn? What can you write and tell anybody if you don't know that God is a keeper? By yourself, deliverer by yourself. Hasn't he delivered you from some things? Haven't he kept you from some things? He kept you from that bullet. He kept you from that beating. He kept you from that car crash. He kept you from that airplane. He kept you from that train. He's a keeper. I just need one person to shout, he's a keeper. He's a keeper. He's a keeper. For I know bigger than our situations. For I know he's a keeper. Didn't read a book. I didn't extract something out of the bestsellers. I'm walking it as a bestseller. I'm walking it. And so to be able to put a conference like this, you gotta know that you know who God is, that you can tell his people, Pastor, who he is, and don't play with it. Don't do it because you're trying to get funds. Don't do it because you're trying to draw crowds. Do it because you're concerned about the soul and the spirit of your sister, of your brother. Do it because you want them to be delivered. Do it because you want them to be set free. Do it because you want them to fulfill their destiny in God. That's why you do it. If nothing ever comes in, I want you to be able to walk out of this place knowing who you are in God, and knowing that whatever situation you are facing in your life, that God is a keeper. He's a keeper. He's a keeper. He'll keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. When your mind is stayed on him. When your mind is stayed on him. When you're going through the darkness of life. When it seems like everybody has walked out. Seems like everybody has left you standing. You can't buy food to feed your family. When you gotta pray the gas in from one place to another, and God takes that E and he brings it to the middle of that dial. You say, God, I know you're a keeper. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for being the roof over their shit, being the roof over my head. I thank you that I'm not under a bridge. Come on, he's a keeper. Some of us should be under a bridge. Some of us should be under a cardboard box. But because he's a keeper, he keeps paying the rent. He keeps paying the mortgage. I don't care if you're in a hotel, but he keeps on making a way. He keeps that payment coming in every way, time and time again, over and over again, Michelle. He keeps on making a way. Over and 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 over. It's limitless. He never stops blessing you. He never stops making a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He keeps on doing it for us. So come on and bless him. That's what it's all about. It's about praising God. It's about glorifying God. It's about magnifying God. Knowing for myself, I've been running this race for a long time. I can't stop now. I can't give up now. There's too many people that are seeking their destiny. They don't know their way. And when you say, God, use me in the earth to glorify your name, and we'll hear about it in the scripture, it's not going to be easy. That's why sometimes people don't say, God, use me for your glory. Because they know there's a price that you have to pay. And it's a high price for some. Some of us, it's just mediocre. But there's some of us, you got to pay a high price. If you're going to sit in high seatings with the Lord, come on. If you're going to be up there with the Lord, you got to understand that the price you're going to pay, it's not going to be cute. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be light. But the Bible says, but my light affliction, but my light affliction. So what to us, it seemed like it's so difficult. And to us, it seemed like so hard. But God said, but your light affliction is only for a moment. Come on, it's just for a moment. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. It's a light thing for God. It's a light thing. It's a light thing. It's a light thing. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too difficult for God. God is a way maker. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In Him I live. In Him I move. In Him I have my being. Oh, God. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you, God. I bless your holy name. I give you praise. I honor you today. As you're being seated, just look to your sister and tell your sister, maybe even your brother, he is a keeper. Come on, look at him. Tell him he's a keeper. Come on, he is a keeper. I know him for myself, not off of her testimony. But if time was to allow, I would tell you, that's what you're saying to your sister. If time would allow, thank you, my sister. I would tell you, everybody in this room has a testimony. And if time was allowed for you to share, you would tell of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. He is a great God. Amen. He is a mighty God. If you're going to post anything, if you're going to tweet anything, you say, how great is our God? Not just any God, but the sovereign God, the almighty God. Amen. Yes. Well, I'm so thankful for your attendance this whole weekend and all that press and push their way from all over. I'm so sorry, I moved the wrong thing. And you came out to be a part of what we are doing here. Thank you, my love. I want to make some acknowledgments, amen. First, give an honor to God, who is truly the head of my life, amen. And I love him so much. I pray that you can see the demonstration outside of my words, because words is easy to put down, Shelley. You can say it, amen, but do you really mean it? So I pray that my life be an example, amen, to the love that I have for God and for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of light, amen. I want to be an example, a good example. You'll see some bumps in along the way. You'll hear me say some things. You'll hear me cuss. That's not a bad example. I walk a life of holiness. I live a life of holiness. I love my husband, and he alone is my man. I love my children. I take care of my children. I love my church. I love the word of God. As much as I love God, I love his word. And so I thank God that I can be an example. But there are some people that are so involved in my life that I cannot go any further without making the acknowledgments. And after God being the head of my life, I want to thank God for my husband, Pastor Robert Frewster, the senior pastor of Women's Worship Center. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. This is a mighty man of God. This is a strong man of God. This is a man of valor. He's a man of faith. He is a Marine, a retired Marine, Semper Fi Dallas. Come on. Mr. Air Force man over here. You know. Takes dedication out there in the military. They train us, amen. And then when we get out, we know how to continue to lead. And he's leading a great army of us. And I want to say this, that leading a great army does not require thousands. You don't have to be a leader that's leading thousands. But there are some that have been ordained to do that. And not necessarily, that does not necessarily mean that they are a great leader just because they are leading a great army of people. Amen. And so we just have to get our facts and like fact check, as they're doing in the political realm. We just have to fact check, fact check it, amen, and make sure that we know what it means, distinguishing the right leader from the leader who's leading a great big church, and things may not be morally correct there, morally right, amen. And so here we rather take five people, come on, we rather take five people and lead them down the path of righteousness and teach them about integrity and teach them about the way of God. And so Pastor Robert, he sounds like, you know, he's a hard guy. You know, if you don't know him, you got to get to know him. But he just sounds like he's a hard guy. That's just a Marine in him. You know, you're talking almost 25, 30 years, you know, of this man of God being in the military. And so can you imagine 34 years married to him and 25 years of the Marine in my house? What? I mean, you know, we both strong, so I had to do some shifting a lot of times, you know, just so I could line up with the man of God, because we both hoodwinks and we both love to fight. So I had to make some adjustments so that I could lead the women of God in the right place. Don't fight him. Put it back. Put it up. Shut it up. Don't say nothing. I know you want to say something. It's like the woman of God said on Friday night, me and my husband had some rounds for a long time with that toilet seat. If you're married, I'm telling you, we all know about that Mr. Toilet Seat Man right there. We all know about him. And you're like, can you just stop? And then you throw it down. Can you just put it down sometime? Or you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, ooh, that's cold. And you realize. And then without the seat, you know, the seat give you a little bit more cushion. So without the seat, you realize you just went a little deeper. You're like, ooh. And so I don't know why in marriages that toilet seat is the number one thing that just keeps us at bay. But I thank God for Pastor Robert. I thank him for believing in my dreams. He always has and he always will. He's always stood by me and he's always prayed for me and covered me. And so I'm so thankful, amen, for what he has done. I'm thankful for the team that helped me. Just give me a few minutes. As I'm not going to be before you long, but I just want to just brag on the people that have helped me to get this together. We started last year of putting this together, and then some things began to happen, and as they unfolded, we began to realize there were some legal things that we had to deal with first, and then we had to come back and regroup. But the team that's here, the BFM team, the SALT team, the Winners Worship members team, would you stand? You're all over this room. If you're standing already, just raise your hand. But I want you to stand so that the people will know that I did not do this alone. It's not me and mine and all by myself. But it takes a team of people to come together, amen, and help you work that thought that's in your mind. It's in your mind, but you can't pull all of these things together. You can't pull from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. You've got to be able to have the people around you that knows you, amen, that has your loving character, that loves God, and then they can tap into where God wants to take the vision, and then now you incorporate everybody else. You cannot do it alone. I could not do this alone, especially when my mother got very ill and had to have surgery, and then so many things happened in my home back in Columbia. I was pulled away for 2 weeks, but this team kept it going. They stayed on the conference line. They kept working. They kept making phone calls. They kept buying everything that was needed to make this conference going. And I don't see Lady Raina. Is Lady Raina in the... And so, Lady Raina, you see these beautiful signs, her destiny and the word of God. Raina, she just turned 21. I told her, you're still not at a drinking age, but you just turned 21. And she was raised in this ministry from 5 years old. And so you see her beautiful work. She has helped us. And I said, Lady Raina, this is what I need. And she said, I got you, Pastor Brenda. And she just began to work. And she didn't say, can you go buy this? Can you? And I know I'm going to take care of her. I'm not going to take advantage of anyone. I'm going to take care of them all. But I just want you to know that you cannot do it alone. If you are a host, ask God to send you the people that can help you put this thing together, so that when your vision is pushed out there, you won't say, look, I'm a self-made millionaire, or I'm a self-publisher. No, I'm not self nothing. I'm nothing without God. I can't do nothing. Literally, it's not a song, but I cannot do nothing without God in my life. Amen. And then I want to thank God, because when I began to share, when I was at my our former church, I did a program and it was called Dare to Dream. I never thought or knew that it would grow to the capacity that it did. The woman of God just put me in a position. She said, here, take it. And I thought, God, I cannot counsel all of these people by myself. And so I had to have a Moses father-in-law, Jethro, by the way of the Holy Spirit, to tell me what to do. And so God began to give me dreams, and he began to tell me, take this title, Dare to Dream, and then start a class and start a campus and then an online. And that's what I did in 2004 and 2005. And so God began to keep us connected. These Dare to Dreamers, some of them are here with us at our church, but others are all over. They are even in Africa, that God pulled us together from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And many of us have kept together and stayed together and love each other, in each other's business, eating each other's french fries. Come on, biting the taco and now you take a bite. And here's the worst thing, we drinking out of each other's glass. And y'all know y'all don't like drinking out of other people's glass. You don't even like drinking out of your own husband. Your husband drink out of your glass, you say, you can keep it. Right? She don't like nobody drink. But this is what sisters do. This is how we do it. So we drink out of it. Okay, you get your straw and I get my straw. We're drinking like that. But I want the women of God that was in the Dare to Dream program at our former church, I want you to stand so the people can see. This is just a handful, but would you stand? All of you that was in the program, would you stand? Amen. 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 We have some that came from Largo. We have some from Tampa. We have Vero Beach in here. We have Wesley Chapel. We have Warner Robins, Georgia, and we have Vero once again, and then we have people all over. And so I thought, why don't I incorporate, if you're going to talk about her destiny, how about give the people some points, amen? How about show the people what you can produce, amen? I can tell you all day long what I can produce, but it's nothing without a testimony, amen? And so then after that, these women of God began to come together, and they began to teach some classes. Now, I'm telling you, these classes are available on a link that we have in a CD. But this woman of God, Minister Freya Huffman, and of course her husband, Pastor Rod Huffman, they came in. And yesterday she talked to us women about how to rightly vote, how to vote by the word of God and not by a political democracy or a Republican. But we've got to pray before we vote and know that God will tell us the right person, amen, to vote for. So she did an awesome job on yesterday teaching. And then this morning, she and Pastor Rod came in and they talked to us about divorce, restoration after divorce. Powerful teaching. I pray that you can get that CD, and I pray that the nuggets that they left with some of us that was taking notes, that you pass it on. And they'll be back, because we have to know that there is life after divorce. Come on, somebody. There is life. God gives us life. He gave us a life in the beginning. He's not going to take the life away from us afterwards. And the church will support the divorcees. Amen. We are not going to be in judgment and say you are not welcome here or wanted here. But it was a powerful teaching. And then these are other Dare to Dreamers. This is Minister Karen and Minister Shelley that is here. And they were teaching us about the various ministries. Minister Deborah Lee, there's Minister Deborah. And Minister Deborah, they're three right there. And after we started the Dare to Dream program, then Karen went and she started a program. And then out of that came Deborah that came down to teach with us. And so it's so much information. They're all on the CD, amen. And I want you guys to grab it. And then what can we say about Dr. Ida Abraham, who's soon to be Dr. Ida Horton, Pastor Ryan. I tell you, when they announced his wife to be coming out, his fiance, I saw him come around that corner, proud. Oh yeah, he was so proud. He was grinning from ear to ear. Where is he? Where is he at? He was just right there. Son, I saw when she turned that corner, I said, yes, sir. That fella done found a good thing, because she put in a big old smile. And I hadn't even said I do yet. Come on. She came in this morning and she shared, and I love this woman of God. I love her parents. So good to see you, mother. and give our love to the husband, to your husband. And we just thank God for you allowing your daughter to come. When we were at a former church, we were also so close still. We built relationships. That's why you can't destroy relationships. You got to stay together. You got to love each other in spite of everything that goes on in your life, the differences. You've got to love each other. Don't slander each other. Come on, you got to know that the Bible speaks against slander. And he says it's evil. And he tells us don't do evil for evil. Come on, somebody. Slander cuts a person's character down. It demeans them. It makes them look like they're worth nothing. And so when you can't say nothing good about somebody, don't say anything at all. And definitely don't say it out there on social media. Shut it down. Shut your page down. Don't say a word. Just say, God, they belong to you. They're not mine. Because if I had a chance, I'd cut them up. But I can't do it, God, because we're all your children. And the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us have an opportunity to say something bad about somebody. When you have an opportunity to say good, something good, you should say it. Amen. You should say something good. You should take time to go out there. And even just someone who's an enemy to you, just say something nice about them. Tag them in it so they'll know that you're not going to follow behind them. I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. So tag them in it and say, girl, I love you so much. And I'm not just saying this, but I mean it. I love you. I appreciate you. That's how you put the enemy on the run. That's how you shut them down. You shut them down with love. You love them. You embrace them. And so for that, I can truly talk to you about her destiny, because I understand that everybody has a purpose in life. We all have destiny. Everyone under the sound of my voice, even though I did not get to hear Lady Andrea's testimony, but I've heard a snippet of it, and I've heard even of her daughter, and at a ministry where I was ministering, God gave a word through myself to her and her husband. So I know that she has destiny. You know you have destiny. But one of the things that we don't know is that we got to go through some things. Amen. And we're not all willing to go through the things. We just want to fulfill destiny, but you can't fulfill it without suffering. The Bible says you got to suffer a little while, and then the blessings will come. And so the woman of God that I want to share with you just a few minutes is coming out of Mark chapter 5 and verse number 24. I'm sorry I didn't give the lady Danielle my scripture. But if you do have your phone or your Bible or your iPad, it's coming out of Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. Now I'll be reading from the NIV version. And it says something like this. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power, virtue had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Be freed from your suffering. This woman of God is just like the rest of us in this room. we would choose to hide in a crowd than to come out from the place of ostracized or being ostracized, because people have lied to us so many times and people have told us that we'll never be anything. If I had allowed that to stay in my spirit when I was 16 years old and had a child out of wedlock and still in high school, and people told me in my neighborhood that you'll never amount to anything. They told me I would never be anything. And from that point in my life, I began to believe it. I began to see other people better than me. I began to see the people around in our community, because of our neighborhood, you know, wasn't the finest of homes. It was really the hood. I mean, that's where, and I don't degrade the hood. I'm thankful for the hood. I'm so thankful, because it made me who I am. It toughened me. It helped me to identify with the people that I come in contact with on a daily basis. It helped me to appreciate the homeless. It helped me to appreciate those that are out there that just had a baby and no husband. It helps me to appreciate the prostitute. That's why I go back to these people, because if it had not been for the hood, if I came out of my mother's womb with a silver spoon in my mouth, I would be so uppity and I would think that I'm better than you. But it taught me how to associate with somebody else. It taught me how to appreciate somebody else. It taught me how to love other people. It taught me to take what's in my house and give it to you. If I'm going to give you anything, it's going to be the best and it's going to be the finest. I'm not just going to give you something raggedy just because you're out on the street. I'm not going to give you something that's nice just because you're walking up and down the street. You got to understand that after I had the baby, then I became a street woman. Come on. And so when you're out there and you don't know nobody to turn to you, everybody is putting you down. Everybody is turning up their nose at you. Come on, you walk past them on the street and they run. They go on the other side, or they go like this, because they already know. They see your face where you've been out there on drugs and your face is messed up. It's visible, and yet they run from you. No, let's run to them. Let's run to the cry, because just because you have established and realized your destiny, there's many women out there that don't know their destiny. They don't know their purpose, because people have lied to them. They ostracized them. They told them that they'll never be anything. They told them that's all you're worth, just as $5. So get up from, I done got what I want, get up off the bed and go on about your business. And that's what this woman of God felt, that I'm nothing, I can't do it. They kept me in a camp because I was not privileged to be outside of the camp with this bleeding going on. And so they put her in a camp, just like leprosy. They put him in a camp and say, you can't come out. But this woman says, I heard about Jesus, and I believe that there's something he's got for me. I believe if I could just get near him, even if I just get in the crowd, I believe that he's going to see me. He's going to find me out. But God did more than that. He allowed Jesus to pass her way. He allowed Jesus to be in the position and the place that when she did get close to him, it was close enough to say, whoa, wait a minute. Somebody just touched me. Now, trust me, he already knew who it was that touched him. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's an all-knowing God. So he already knew who touched him. But for her to feel a part of him, he had to say, who touched me? And so she had to say, it was I. I'm going to tell you the truth, God. The challenge with some of us with her destiny is that we don't want to be honest. We don't want to tell the truth. We don't want it to be known that I had a child out of wedlock. So you know, sometimes, and I know this for a fact, sometimes we send our girls up north, you know, stay with Auntie Ann, and then you either do what you're going to do or go ahead and push the baby out and then leave the baby up there with Auntie Ann, and she'll raise them. But you can't let people know that you had this baby. And so I need you to go on up there and do what you're going to do and come on back home. But Jesus is not like that. He loves us so much. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has cast our sins away from us, never to remember them anymore. So he doesn't really remember that I had a child at 16. All he knows is that I put my children in his hand, and he is going to lead them down the path of righteousness, and he's going to teach them their destiny. And so the first thing, women of God, you have to do is be honest with yourself. You must confess, I'm not all of that and a bag of chips, even though you think it and you believe it. But sometimes you're at a to pump that thing down and say, God, I'm nothing without you. I'm going to just be honest with you, God. I hear that woman of God up there talking about it, but I was out there on the streets too. I had Johns. I had pimps. Come on. I didn't have a pimp, God. I was trying to make money for myself. I can't be making money for you and me, and then you busting me upside my head while I'm busting something else. No, I can't do that. I'm getting bust one way, so I can't go that. Can I just be honest? I mean, I just want to. I can't do that. No, ma'am. No, sir. I'm about making my own money. So I didn't have pimps. I did my own thing in my own way. But if there was an opportunity for you to be truthful, so that your destiny could come out, so that other people can know, you too, you was in there shooting up. My God, you was in the crack house too. My God, you dated him. He went with you too. Oh my God, was that before me or after? So I know how to go and clean myself up. Oh Jesus, oh, come on now. You want you got to be honest with yourself. You got to start doing some search. Turn the searchlight on yourself first, because there's women that's weighing in the balance. I knew that there was women weighing in the balance because there was an evangelist in my community that saw something outside of my mother, and she began to pull me under her wings, and she began to teach me. And even though I was still going astray, and even though she knew I was dating a married man, she would still tell me, meet me at the church at this time, and you better not be late. And she would take me in the throes of prayer, and she would make me pray. She would make me get on my knees, and she knew when I got off my knees for an hour I was going to be okay, but I was going back out there. It's like the woman of God says, for 6 years this man beat me, but I kept going back to him. I don't know what it's like. It's like a magnet that it just keeps on drawing you back. But the Bible says, until the prodigal son came to himself, he stayed out there. You've got to come to yourself. But how did he come to himself? He came to the realization that my father is rich in houses and land. Why am I out here? Why am I out here eating the food from the pigs? Why am I out here when I know that there's a brighter day for me? Why am I out here when I know that there's destiny for me? Why am I out here when I know that there's dreams and visions waiting for me? And there's other women that's waiting for me. Women were waiting for me, and they still are. That's why I've got to stay focused. That's why I got to stay with my face like a flint. That's why I got to have tunnel vision at some point, so that I cannot see the distractions on my left and my right. I can only see the person that's in front of me, because I got to run this race, and I got to pour into your life. I got to speak life into you. I got to speak destiny into you. I got to tell you that God loves you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're wearing, no matter how short your dress is, I don't care how low your pants is, son. God has destiny for you, and I'm going to lead you. Oh, I'm going to lead you down the right path so that I can help you. But you got to face truth. Woman had to face truth. She said, I've had this issue of blood all of these years, 18 years. Just recently spoke to someone who had it for some months, just bleeding. I don't know, some of you may be under the sound of my voice. I was the same way, 30 days bleeding. Low iron blood. Everything was making me sick. I couldn't seem to get myself together. So I went to a doctor. Unlike this woman, nobody could help her. These days and times of technology, there's oblations. There's different things that we can have done to remove that tumor, to remove that fibroid. She couldn't do that. She didn't have that privilege. But what she did know, if I can just get in this crowd, if I can just seek his face. But I got to be honest, I got some bleeding. I know people looking at me. They're probably smelling me. Come on, somebody. They've already identified that I don't belong in this crowd. But I know that there's something better for me. And so the first thing we've got to do is face truth. Leave your past behind after you face the truth. Because once she pressed into God, once she touched the hem of his garment, the Bible says Jesus told her, you're free now. So you don't have to go back. You don't have to go back and fit in the crowd. I remember telling and sharing with the ladies as I'm getting ready to close here. I was sharing with the ladies. I love the people the men and women of God that God had us under for 15 years. I love them. I still do love them. I still keep in touch with them. I send them love cards. I send them Facebook messages. And when I can, you have something, I'm going to be there. There's no hatred in me. Come on, there's no hatred. Come on, the woman of God taught us about animosity. There's no animosity in my life. I've got a full race to run. I can't have stuff hidden inside of my heart. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, God. It's not hatred that I have, but it's your love. And so God began to show me when we were walking together, and she was leading me, she was pouring into my life, and she was allowing me to serve her. I will never forget the first time that as a secretary at that time, and she had received an invitation to come and preach at God's Leading Ladies. Amen. This was held by Bishop Jakes. This was the very first one that he had. And we flew out to Dallas, and we were in this class. And I began to hear the man of God talk about God's Leading Ladies, God's Leading Ladies. But I felt out of place because I was a servant. I didn't feel that he was talking to me. And even still, the crowd in the room made me feel smaller and smaller. I felt that I was looked upon. You're just a servant girl. You're just one who's carrying somebody else's bags. And so my dream and my hopes began to diminish because I felt like I was nothing. I didn't have a destiny. And it took me years after going around and around to all of the conferences of God Leading Ladies that God hit me one night in a service. And when he hits you, when revelation hits you, and revelation gonna hit you, I'm telling you, if you keep following after God, revelation is gonna hit you right smack in your spirit, and you're gonna wake up and say, oh God, I smell the coffee. Oh God, I see what you're doing in my life. Oh God, I thank you for taking this veil off of my eyes and off of my mind and off of my thinking, off of my mentality. I thank you for opening my eyes to see that I too am God's leading lady. Even though I'm over here serving, I am on a place of assignment, but it does not mean that my assignment is not going to usher me right on in into my destiny. Even though I'm over here carrying a purse, it does not mean that I'm a little girl. I'm a big girl in God. I'm grown in God. I see that God is moving me right straight into my place. Even though it looks like what I'm doing is small, but nothing we do for God is small. Nothing we do for God is small. So if your assignment is to clean the church, clean it to the best of your ability. Bishop Jakes also talked about in one of his testimonies how he would go and he would scrub the floor and wax the floor, and then all of a sudden something, a stain was on the floor, he couldn't get it off, and so all the chemicals that was already published could not get that stain up, and he went and devised something and he worked it, and he got the it was either him or somebody, but he got the stain off, and then this product started going in Walmart, Target, and all across the world. Don't let anybody minimize your dream. Don't let anybody minimize your destiny. Even though you're sitting here under the sound of my voice, you've heard me share some things, but your destiny is just as great as mine. Because when you pass the baton, you're passing it on to the next greatest thing that has come into your life. Amen. It's not for you to hold on to it, but you got to pass it. And so that night in the service, I'm still serving, but it hit my spirit. You are God's leading lady too. And something took place in my life and my perspective changed. Things about me changed. I'll never forget, I got to the room after getting her settled and I called my husband. And I said, babe, guess what? I said, baby, I'm a God's leading lady. And you know what he said? He said, babe, I was trying to tell you that all along. You got to listen to the men. You got to listen to your husbands. Let me tell you something, women of God. This was one of my mistakes. He was trying to tell me that all along, and I wasn't listening. And I think it was said earlier today because I was looking for validation from my leaders. But my leader was my husband. He is my husband. My leader is my husband. You understand what I'm saying? My leader. And when you get married, women of God, you got to know that your leader is your husband. And so my husband was telling me all along, and I couldn't hear him because I thought, oh no, I need them to see me. I need them to know what I'm doing. And so when I told him, he said, Babe, I was telling you that all along. What happened? I said, well, what happened was. And so these last night and Friday night, these women was tearing us up with these husbands. I don't know about y'all, but I was texting my husband. I was saying, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for what I said. You know, he said, Babe, I'm not emotional. That's that Marine in him. He's not emotional. I said, okay, let me just go and fix it up. And no, don't mess up my makeup all like that if you're not going to take it serious. But he was telling me that all along. He was treating me like the queen that I already was. But I was looking for validation from somewhere else. This woman of God was not she got tired of looking for the validation among men. That's why she pressed her way out in the crowd. She could have been killed. She could have been slaughtered, but she said, I'm not looking for validation from this man. I'm looking for validation from that man. The only one person that can put me on the map. The only one person that can elevate me, promote me. The only one person that can put me before the right people at the right time. Come on, somebody. That's the only man that could do it. And so when she touched God, when she touched Jesus, and she began to behold, he done some miraculous things in her life. God wants to do some miraculous things in your life. Some of us are so hurting. We're hurting. We're still hurting. We've sung so many songs. Pastor Ryan and his team has done a wonderful job. They led us into the throne room of God with awesome songs. Can I tell you something? When you begin to praise God like that, listen, you just need to get some of the CDs that he has out there and just begin to take it and put it in your CD. In your player, and just let the praise of God be on your lips and just begin to praise God. I can imagine that once this woman realized that she was no longer bleeding and that she realized and understood the word of God when he said, you're free. She was free from everything that held her back. She was free from everything that stalled her from moving forward. She was free from her past. She was free from what the way people were thinking about her. Even after she goes back, I can understand that they say, you went out like that? You know, have your mother ever told you, girl, if you go out like that again, you representing the family. You can't be going out there with your head messed up. I'm a beautician. Let me do your hair. I don't do hair. I do wigs. I've done wigs all my life. But when I was a little girl, because my mom's a beautician, you know, I went out one day, and this is a true story. I went out one day after she go to work. You know, she leaves to go to work, and I go to play. And so I'm going out to play, and I'm playing. Listen, my mom leave at 8. I leave at 8:30. She worked 9 to 5. I got back home 5:36. But in the South, the women didn't play. They had the switches. And then she would tell me, go get me a switch. You know, I turn the corner. I see her on the porch. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But this particular day, I had played so hard. My hair was messed up. And the first thing she said, I'm going to whip you because your hair is messed up. I'm thinking, Mama, don't whip me. You know, have you ever had your mother to say, I'm not going to whip you now. I'm going to whip you later. And then she wait till all 10 of those things come. On that 10th one, now she beating you. And you get whipped for number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4. But that lady said, I'm going to whip you because your hair messed up. I said, I'm going to wear a wig for the rest of my life. Because I can't get a whipping because my hair messed up. So I can imagine the people saying, you went out like that. But she knew that if I didn't get out from among you, you got to get from around the familiarity. You got to come from around the familiar people. You sometimes, and I heard this preaching, I heard Bishop Jakes when he did his leadership teaching here, I think it was this year or last year, up in Orlando. He said, you cannot hire your friends to do when you're doing things. You can't always hire friends. He said, you got to go outside of the circle of your friends. Yes, your friend can do it. Yes, they have the gift. Yes, they have the talent. But when you begin to pray before you vote for the person who's going to do the work for you, you've got to ask God, who you want to be a part of what you're doing in my life, because everybody can't be a part. And even though they have the gift, it doesn't mean that they should be a part of right now of what you're doing. You've got to go and employ other people, employ other dreams, employ other gifts, employ other talents, bring them in so that they can take your ministry and your gift to another level. That's what we're going to do. We're taking it to another level. We're getting ready to start her destiny for these young girls.
teaching. I'm getting old, y'all. I'm still young, but I'm getting old. And so I got to pour into somebody. I got to grab these young ladies and begin to teach them about abstinence, teach them about keeping themselves, teaching them about how to dress modestly. I got to teach them that they are somebody in God, that they don't have to lay with any and everybody that comes their way. And just because he told you that he loved you, he's just saying that for a night. But in the morning, he's gone and you'll never see him again. We've got to reach destinies. We've got to reach generations. And so I'm beginning to start this class. And I thank God for all of the women that are starting programs. And we've got to do this. God freed us for a reason. He set us free for a reason. He gifted you for a reason. And so therefore, now you have the opportunities, not just to keep it locally, but you can get out there on YouTube. You can podcast. Come on, somebody. You can get out there and do live on Facebook. Teach the people. Whatever gift that is God has given you, he set you free for a reason. What are you doing with what God has given you? I told you last night, America has gotten so, the church, American church has gotten so lethargic. As I travel around the world, churches outside of America is on fire for God. They're on fire. They love God. They're super excited about coming to church. They don't worry about the heat. There's no heat. There's no air condition. There's not even a fan. They have to make up a fan. And then listen, they are. You go into the African areas. You know, our Godhead, the Bishop David is over us. He's from Nigeria, and so when we have gone to the conferences, and you see the women with their head, I mean, they tied up, Mary, right? And they wrapped up. And I can't imagine me being in menopause and all of that right now. I gotta be free, y'all. Come on, I gotta dress in layers, something that I can just go ahead. But these women aren't worrying about dressing in layers. They're not worrying about dressing in Michael Kors.